The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. We're rather like the apostles in today's gospel. We come to church Sunday after Sunday. We hear God's word proclaimed. We hear that we shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. We hear how we shall ask in Jesus' name, and it shall be given us. We pray for the nation, the church, the sick, and the departed. We proclaim God's glory. Then we, like the apostles, scatter each to our own home. Like them, we probably don't quite understand how what we've just seen and done relates to our life, to the real world. Like them, we probably don't devote too much thought to it. It never occurs to us that what we have just seen and done might require action on our part, might require us to do something beyond that occasional hour on Sunday that we've assigned to God. That's where today's epistle comes in. Evidently, the first century Christians to whom St. James was writing were a lot like us today. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. No doubt these first century Christians were meticulous about their theology. They were completely orthodox. They were true to the faith of their fathers. Their worship services were probably very elegant and traditional. Innovation was not for them. They no doubt devoted tremendous effort to achieving and maintaining the proper theological and liturgical standards. They were probably quite proud of the results. There was only one problem with them. They didn't do anything. James warns them that they're deceiving themselves. They have a false image of themselves. They think that because they devote a small amount of time to the worship of God, that they've fulfilled the will of God. James reminds them that worship is only a small part of what God requires of them, what God requires of us. An hour a week, a largely passive activity, does not come close to loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. It's necessary. It's the first step, but so much more is required. James goes on to explain what is required. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, this man's religion is vain. How can we possibly claim to love God and our neighbor if we devote our time to criticizing our neighbors? I think most of you probably remember the scripture about worrying about the speck in your brother's eye while you have a beam in your own. Maybe we should concentrate more on our own imperfections. Maybe God is calling us to improve ourselves, not perfect our neighbor. James does not limit true religion to self-improvement. It requires more than just developing the proper inner attitudes and virtues. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. True religion is not just a matter of beliefs. It requires action. The summary of the law says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor. It doesn't say when you get a chance or when it's convenient. It's not an afterthought or something optional. You have no choice. You are called by God to make a sincere, committed effort to improve the lot of this world. You're commanded to do so in Christ's name. In case you doubt what I said or don't understand it, I would refer you to the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at the 31st verse. In this passage, Jesus is talking about the final judgment, how the goats will be separated from the sheep. Then shall a king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall a righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. May God grant that we be not only be hearers of his word, but doers also. Amen. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all praise, laud, honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever, world without end. Amen.